Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Reading today from Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as He have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So far we read God's holy word. Let's come before him in prayer, giving thanks for what is described here and praying that we may have it as well as the Ephesians did. Paul could describe it of them and more blessing for them. Pray that we will have that in our time of declension, our time of falling away, our time of losing our first love, not only the nation, the homes, but the church as well. It's not the salt as it should be. And let's pray for awakening and reviving through Christ. Our Father, we come to thee in Christ's name, asking for the blessings needed because of him, because of his death and his shed blood, and also that he is the resurrected one that can live in us. And we pray, Father, that because of him, thou wilt send thy Holy Spirit to awaken us, to convict us, to turn us, to call us, to give what is needed, that we might again be led into the truth of thy word, and especially that the Spirit might take the things of Christ and show them to us. We pray that he might do that from this word here that Paul wrote both to the Ephesians and to all the faithful in Christ Jesus in our time as well as then. We pray for that blessing on thy word wherever it is heard. Also, we pray that thou wilt call more laborers to go into all the fields that are still white under harvest, where the laborers are few. The church getting less and less, especially with the young people, we pray that there might be those who will call them both to repentance and faith, and then as well to obedience. We pray that blessing may be given in our homes for both young and old. We pray especially for the broken homes, that they might be recognized, repented, and healed, if it could be thy will, that we might see the seriousness of that and what it is doing to the nation, what it's doing to the next generation, and that the church is at fault as well as the homes of the nation. We pray, Father, for those that need the healing hand in the body, those that are sick, those that are injured. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the persecuted. We pray for those that are in special needs, and wherever they may be. And we pray, Father, that thou would give them what they need through and because of Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking at this letter here of Paul to the church at Ephesus, not only to them, but as he added with it in the end of that first verse, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That can mean at that time, and it can mean to the faithful in Christ Jesus of all time, us as well. It should mean us only if we are faithful in Christ Jesus. There's many times when we're not faithful, not in the way of following him as he called us to do. As Paul could say, be you followers of me as I am of Christ. Paul himself was that. He was faithful in Christ Jesus. But even the Ephesians here had to be called a little bit later as we can see in the fifth chapter, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So, three different churches that were called to awake: the church at Corinth, and the church here at Ephesus, and the church at Rome. The church at Rome was told it was high time to wake out of sleep. And certainly, if those churches had to be called in that way, we do today. I'm afraid we are asleep, as we have been mentioning in some of the last messages, how we are denying God as Creator. That's a terrible thing, that we will not give Him glory, and it puts us in darkness. We are there as a nation, in darkness, foolishness, and very much in danger of being given over to a reprobate mind, far from the way of the churches here who were blessed. And we need to learn from them and pray that we will be brought back in awakening and reviving. That can come by what we read here in the second verse: "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." That can cover any church in any name. Grace to you, we all need it. Whether the church is in a blessed state or whether the church is in a low state, we need God's grace. We need to hear that as Paul gave it to them. That was his hope for them, and we might say his prayer for them, as we read from verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him." That is the grace that God gives, and He gives it by grace, not that we earn it. We need it, and we can receive it because of Christ, because He paid the price on the cross. He paid for our sin, as we sang, "For me He shed His precious blood, for me His life He gave." It's because of that that we can have that grace. God applies the blessings of Christ by grace. We might say, as we sometimes call it, irresistible grace. It's a grace that conquers, a grace that overcomes, a grace that takes the lost sinner that is at enmity and brings him to be subdued, brings him to cry out, as Paul did, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That is the grace we need today. We need it for the lost, to have grace to stop them in their willful ways, ways of enmity and rebellion and pride. And we need it for the grace to revive the church. We need to see that as a prayer and say, as Paul said it to them, pray that it will be also for us today in our area and throughout our nation, throughout the world, and that it will be grace there that will affect us individually, in the church, and in the home. Not only grace, but also peace. Peace with God, as we can read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Without that, we are at enmity against God, and God's wrath is against us, as we read in the next chapter of the Ephesians here, who before the time that they were called and brought into the body of Christ, they were children of wrath, even as others, as we read the last part of verse 3 of chapter 2. Now they were in the way of peace with God through Christ and by faith in Him. And we go on, it is not only from God the Father, but also from the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them together are the ones that are in heaven now. Christ at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, doing what David already said in the Old Testament, of God saying to Christ, "Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." Christ is doing that now. He's making his enemies his footstool, and he's doing what we read here, giving the Father blessing, as we read it in the third verse: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places." We have read that more than one time here, in heavenly places. it describes what we have here. And we see that also in the second chapter, we read in verse 6, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a difference from our natural way in the horrible pit, in the miry clay, and then to be made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. We read of that in the next chapter. We read of it here also. Father, in this first chapter, we come across it a number of times. The last part of verse 20, we read, And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Christ is there in heavenly places with the Father, sometimes called on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We are put in Christ. Then we can be in Christ in heavenly places. He describes it here in the last part of the third verse, again in the 20th verse, other places as well, both in the first and the second chapter. Then going on in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God writes here of what he did over 6,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world. The foundation was laid sometime about 6,000 years ago. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We have studied on that and saw a great number of scriptures that speak about creation throughout the whole Bible. Not only in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Even in the book of Revelation, God is our creator. He has chosen us before he created this world, before the foundation of the world that was laid in creation. He chose us then, long before we lived. If you were God's child, he chose you over 6,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. There's more things that happen before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus also speaks of the Father's love to him before the beginning of the world. His prayer in John 17, verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Father and the Son were there together in glory, and together they chose us before the foundation of the world. We also read of that in the same chapter, John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Christ was there with the Father before the world was, and here we read, he chose us before the foundation of the world. There are people who talk about God chose us because of what he knew we would do. But that is not the way. He chose us by grace. He chose us in his own will, as we can read in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 9, and verse 16, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We don't know why God chose particular people, but he did choose. These people here were the ones at Ephesus that were in Christ, that were chosen before the foundation of the world by God. We need to see that as the way of God's grace. We need to see it as he doing that for his glory, the glory of his grace. Not only did he create the world and establish the foundation of the world, but he chose us in Christ, gives us the blessings that are described here. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a statement. Changing from those that were at enmity against God, as we can read, dead in sin, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. Christ also stated that plainly when he spoke to Nicodemus, that men love darkness rather than light, so he didn't choose us by what we do. He chose us in our need. We have a great need of being chosen from the way of our unbelief, the way of our pride, the way of our rebellion, the way of going contrary to God in every way, loving darkness rather than light, even as Christ said, the strong statement with it. Men hate the light, go against the light, as we can read it in Christ's words to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Not only they love darkness rather than light, but everyone that does evil hates the light. And Christ is the light. We have to admit we hate Christ the light in a natural way. He was crucified not only by the Jews, but all of us, and not only for our need, but because of our enmity. As Isaiah could write of it, Isaiah 53, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Let me read that again. He was despised and we redeemed him not. Do you know you're included in that way? Every one of us are. That's our natural way. The rest of the chapter talks about what Christ did, but the first part of Isaiah 53 tells us about us. There is nobody that we should desire him, and we are the ones that despise the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. So when we read here, according as he hath chosen us in him, he chose those who were at enmity. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for his enemies. And we have to see that. And we have to know that. And we have to come to learn that in repentance. That's part of repentance. People think of repentance as turning from our sinful ways to good ways. But we have to, in repentance, come to see that we lived at enmity against God, that we despised and rejected his son. We sometimes admit we are sinning against the law, but we also sin against the gospel. Christ said so. Men love darkness rather than light. That's despising the gospel, loving the darkness, loving to hide, loving to go our own way. He has to choose us out of that. Again, this fourth verse here, according to have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. One of the pastors of the past made the statement, when God chose his children and adopted his children, he adopted them out of Satan's family. And that's true. That's what we were. We chose to go with Satan. We chose to listen to him. Christ makes that plain when he talked to his audience in John chapter 8, when he said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They said, we're not in bondage. But as the argument continued, then they showed that they, in their pride, did not believe they were in bondage, but they showed they were in bondage. They called Christ and described him as a Gentile person, not even as a Jew. And at the end of the chapter, we read they took up stones to stone him. They proved that what he said was true. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. That's our natural way. Children of Satan, and God chooses us and adopts us by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All of this is done according to his will. He is the one that does all of this in grace. He does it because of Christ. And we have to see that not because of us. He does it because of our need, but not of our well-doing. And as we sang last week, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. It's not at all what we do, our hands or our mind as well. God predestined us out of Satan's family to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, what we read different times here in this chapter and throughout the next chapter as well. It is to the glory of His grace. It's His will to the praise, the glory of His grace, when He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Christ, brought to Christ, as Christ Himself said, it is written in the prophets that they shall be taught of the Father, and those that are taught of the Father, He says, come to Me. He calls us to come to Him in the time when God gives us the new birth, when He gives us the Holy Spirit that was needed. As Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said we have to be born of the Word and the Spirit. That must take place to bring us to this place of adoption of children. He does it through the preaching of the Word. He does it by the work of the Spirit. He does it because of Christ. The end of it is to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Christ, both because of Christ and in Christ. Christ made the statement that's recorded in John chapter 6, that except we eat of Him and drink of His blood, we have no life in us. Then He states further of when that is done, John chapter 6, He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. We must have that. In a later chapter, the night before He died, He said that He's the vine and we're the branches. We must abide in Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. And we could also say that without Him, we can have nothing. Nothing but wrath. Nothing but deadness and sin. He says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And so, this comes here by God's plan, God's purpose, God's predestination, by the work of the Holy Spirit, but also by the preaching of the Word, we hear the gospel. We hear the message that Christ died for sinners, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again, according to the Scripture. And by that gospel, we are saved. By what He did, according to the Scripture. We have the Scripture here that describes the happening of it to the people at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I hope that you know your need of that. You need to know that you have to be predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And if God doesn't plan it, if God doesn't do it, it will not be done. It must come from Him. It is by His grace, His power, and for the glory of His grace. Let's give Him glory in thanking Him what He has done in giving Christ, but also what He does in giving us to Christ and giving Christ to us. Has that taken place in your life?
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise